Wish to extend greetings to you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessings, Father, as we meet together this morning on your word, Father. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom and understanding, Father, of your word. Help us to apply it to our lives. Open our minds and our hearts today, Father. Lord, help us see your way clearly, Father. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Again, extend greetings to you all. I want to start out here, I think, just with a quote from the psalm. It's great peace, not a complete quote, but just a generalization. Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I think you're all familiar with that. Without turning to it, this gets the idea. What I want is the idea that it's trying to express that there's a difference between having peace and being offended. And the vastness of having peace, the difference between having peace and being offended. And I want to just really express that this morning, or really think about that idea, the differences that how we can be religious and appear offended by other people, by someone else's actions, and have no peace. There's just the two are so far apart, but they can be so confusing whenever we see them in a religious setting. And they're as opposite as night and day. Peace or being offended. The offended one usually is like the squeaky wheel. They make a lot of noise. And they really stir things up. But there's no peace. They can find no rest for things. There's no peace in it. And I want to just build on that. A lot of the heart of that comes from guilt, I think, is where our offenses come from. And I want to distinguish a couple of different kinds of guilt. There's a guilt of someone committing a sin. And then there's the guilt of the soul. Someone that commits a sin can have a guilt of the soul, and it just magnifies everything. And there's one that can have the peace or a cleansing of the soul that can fail, and they just get up and go again. The Bible talks about that. A righteous man falls 7 times, and he gets up and goes again. The reason he can do that is because he's got the cleansing of the soul. The peace that comes with having a cleansed soul. Someone without that rest of having the cleansing, they have a guilt of the soul. And it doesn't matter how religious they are, there's still no peace. There's no rest. They're unsettled. Always fluttering about here and there. And it's because there's no real rest in the soul, or a peace of a cleansing of the soul. You can be religious and not have that rest in your soul. And that's what that's where this comes about. The person who loves the Lord's law, the Lord's ways, loves the Lord and has tasted that cleansing, nothing shall offend them. Nothing shall offend them. We'll read here in just a little bit the depths of that, of how nothing can offend them. If our trust is in the Lord, if our trust is in the Lord, nothing can offend you. You know, we hear about people who fail or fall. And because of that fall, many people give up on their faith. They're offended by how someone lives. They're offended by what other people do. And so they lose their faith. The problem with that is if I fall because someone else fell, my faith was not in the Lord in the first place. See, there's a difference. There's people that are scared to death to trust anyone. And the reason they don't trust anyone is because they don't trust the Lord. They don't trust the Lord, and so they cannot trust anyone else. They're afraid that if they trust someone else and that person fails them, then they'll lose their faith. And they will, because their faith is in someone else instead of in the Lord. But if you have your faith in the Lord, you can trust someone else. And they can fail. And you still go right on, because your faith is in the Lord. But because your faith is in the Lord, you can still trust other people. But your faith is not in them. It's in the Lord. It's really so simple, but it's so easily demagogued or twisted. You hear people say, I'm not going to trust in a man because man will fail me. My trust is in the Lord. And so they trust no one. Well, that is perfect evidence that they have no faith in the Lord. Because if you have faith in the Lord, you can trust other people and nothing will offend you. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Does that mean that if a person who is in Christ Jesus fails, he doesn't feel any guilt? No, most certainly doesn't. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. They can live their lives, and when they fail, they recognize who they are, and they get right back up and go again. Because their faith is in the Lord, not in their own performance. They fail, they get right back up, they confess their fault, they confess their sin, and they can go right on. But someone who has no peace and has this guilt of the soul feels this condemnation. Whether they sin or whether they don't, they're condemned. There is no rest and no peace. That's why people can't stay anywhere very long with a group of believers, because before long, someone fails them and they've got to go running off to something else. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." We're scared of things like that because it's been so abused. But yet it's true. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." That's why people can just live without a dark cloud hanging over their head, because they can have peace and be free just to follow the Lord, to love Him. They can be happy and free and have joy and peace. And that's so fearful to a religious person living under condemnation. "For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, and those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Great peace do they have that love His laws, His ways, His the Lord, and nothing shall offend them. If someone's failure or someone's weakness is offending you, they don't have the problem. You do. They don't have the problem. You do. You've got to have this cleansing of the soul. This cleansing. The peace that passes all understanding. The rest for your soul. Or everything else is vain. Our trust so easily gets in something that it shouldn't be in. All the while saying with our mouth that it's in something else. I'm trusting the Lord, but people are failing me, and I can't be around that. That's what it talks about when Paul says, "Those that are spiritual, restore such a one of the spirit of meekness." To bear with the infirmities. It's the strong that's able to bear with those. Those that have that peace that can bear with the weaknesses of other people. But the weak one, the one who has no rest, that's offended by the way everyone else lives, is the weak one. They have nothing. Let's turn a little bit in Romans chapter 8 again, verse 35. Let's just begin in verse 31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things?" If God be for us, who can be against us? How are you going to be offended if your faith is in God being for you? That's what He's saying. if God be for us, who can be against us? Why would I ever be offended? Verse 34, who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather he who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Who will offend me that I lose my faith? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation? I get offended and I got to run away because I'm offended. Is that tribulation? Who will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Or somebody didn't do like I thought they ought to do. Somebody didn't perform the way I thought they ought to perform. And I've got to get away from that or I'll lose my faith. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were counted as sheep to be slaughtered. Where is there room for me being offended? Because somebody doesn't do the way I think they ought to do. You see the comparison here of what Paul is talking about? These things, persecution, peril, famine, danger, the sword, they don't bother us because there's nothing that will offend the one whose trust is in the Lord. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Does that fit with your little religious charade that makes you think you're holy because you can... someone else didn't do what you thought they ought to do? I'm a sheep to be slaughtered. I don't like the way they did that. I don't like the way someone did that. They offended me. If we have faith in the Lord, it doesn't matter what happens to us. They cannot take that away. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Where's our faith? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what is it that's going to separate you from the Lord? Someone you trusted in failing you? Your faith wasn't in the Lord. Because if your faith is in the Lord, nothing will shake that. You trusted someone and they didn't do what you wanted them to do, and that shakes your faith, you don't have any faith. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Begin at verse 20. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. Jesus lived His life and there were people all around Him that were offended by Him. One way or another, there was a whole bunch of people that were offended because of Jesus. So much so that they crucified Him. Verse 22 says that, or verse 21, for you have been called for this purpose. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. Where was His faith? His faith was not in how He's been being treated. His faith was not in what people were saying about Him. His faith was not in, I don't think it even mentioned about somebody else failing, somebody else not meeting up to His standard. Where does that come in? His faith was in He who judges righteously. Look what they were doing to Him, these people. And His faith was in Him. He was judging righteously. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross. He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds we are healed. All that He went through to set us free. Is He not worth trusting? For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the Shepherd and Guardian of your souls. Chapter 3. Verse 1. Mother's Day. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. See, all we've been talking about is people being offended. Somebody not meeting up to their expectations. And Jesus talks about all of that. And Peter talks about that. It's giving the very example of Jesus being put to death. And then he says, in the same way, you wives, be submissive and trust your husbands. See that trust, where the trust is here? A wife can trust her husband because she trusts the Lord. If she gets all offended because her husband isn't doing what's right or isn't going to make the right decision or isn't going to make the right choice, and she gets all offended, it's because she doesn't trust the Lord. There's no rest there. There's no peace. Nothing will offend them that love thy law. Peril, sword, dangers. Peril, sword, dangers, famine, death. My husband making a dumb decision. Is that in there? Maybe it should be. You see what I'm talking about? When you trust the Lord, you can trust other people. You can trust to be what God wants you to be in the first place. The same way, your wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of the wives. A restful, peaceful, trusting woman is a picture of Jesus being reviled, not opening his mouth, being cursed, being beaten, going like a lamb to the slaughter. Doesn't that speak to us whenever we see what he went through? Doesn't it draw us to him so that he doesn't have to say a word and we're converted by his example? That's what he wants from a wife. As they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. Why is it precious? Because it's like the Spirit of Jesus. Someone that's living that way, trusting in the Lord, is not offended by their husband. Not offended because he might make a bad decision. Why? Because they can trust him because they trust the Lord. Their rest is not in their husband's decisions. Their rest is in the Lord. And it just goes on and on. Our rest does not rely in those above us. They'll fail us. Our rest is not in our fathers, in our leaders. We can trust them because we trust the Lord. But let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. The same way that nothing can separate us from the love of God, because our trust is in the Lord. Nothing can harm you when your faith is in the Lord. Just the same way, nothing can harm you by trusting your husband when your faith is in the Lord. Great peace have they who love the Lord, the love the Lord, the law of the Lord, and nothing shall offend them. If things are troubling us, if things are offending us, get our trust, get our faith a little bit higher. Lift your faith up to the next level, to where it can't be offended, where nothing will take it away from you. Find something so high that it doesn't matter what anybody else does to you. They can't shake. They can't take the love of God from you. What else do we need? What are you going to take into eternity besides that? May the Lord add His blessings. For in the ear of the ear.